who has what gifts and what fruits and. Mike, you have a gift?
Okay. I have the gift of prophecy.
All right. My goodness. Thank you, Lord. We praise the Lord for that grace.
That's what I do with my music. All right.
Wow, that's great. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else?
I'm just sitting here thinking, we were laughing because we didn't get all the questions. You don't have to do all the questions. They're all kind of related.
But I think everybody at the table agreed that gift of faith has been just a real rock for all of us.
Good. Very good. Very good. That's an important one. We have the gift of faith over here also. Some gifts of healing. What else did we talk about? Oh, wants all the gifts. You know, what gifts do we want? Wants all of them. That's me too. I want everyone that God wants to give me, I want. Thank you, Lord. So,
have you ever heard Father Paquet talk about the gifts and the graces? He wants threefold, tenfold gifts. I'm not just looking for the regular level of gift. He wants 10 times.
That's right. Gifts over here. Fruits. What do you have? What do you want?
We focus a little more on being open to receiving gifts. And sometimes I find myself a little resistant to the Holy Spirit because there's still a... I still struggle with trust. Faith I've got. I've got a lot of faith, but I still struggle with trust because I'm a stubborn man. And I want to, you know, I want to have a plan. I want to understand where that plan is going. And to be totally open to the gifts of the Spirit, you have to really open yourself to the gifts of the Spirit. And I know that, you know, sometimes at the baptisms of the Spirit, you know, I'm not always as open as I'd like to be.
And I think we all have that humanness in us where we've got that little control. You know, we need to hold on to that. If I let that go, what will happen to me? So that's, you know, we would talk about openness to the Spirit. And there was that one woman we asked what gifts they wanted, and they said, "Oh, I'll take any gift, God, but not the gift of tongues. Don't give me the gift of tongues. I don't want the gift of tongues."
Yeah, someone told us about this. We didn't actually witness it, but they said that it was during a baptism of the Spirit, and she said, I want to be baptized in the Spirit, but I don't want the gift of tongues. Anything else? And while she was baptized in the Spirit, she started speaking in tongues. She's gotten a lot of different gifts since then, but that was the first gift she got.
Kay Gargarella is a good friend of ours, lives over in Westover, and she told us about a gift that this has helped build up the community. One of her friends was going to a prayer meeting on a kind of a regular basis, and the other woman would come back home, and her husband would stay at home, and the other woman would come home, and she was just filled with all kinds of joy and happiness. I mean, it was just... And he says, you know, what's going on at that prayer meeting? You know, what's going on there? We learn all kinds of things about the gifts of the Spirit. And he says, okay. So the next week, she went to the prayer meeting. But before she got home, he called her and said, he's talking in tongues. So he received the gift of tongues, not even being at the prayer meeting. So, I mean... can't stop the Holy Spirit. let me move on because I know we're short of time. I want to keep everybody here. Here I got some more photographs, more paintings. This one I think is just a great, I just see these gifts falling down on the apostles here. You know, they're just filled with the Spirit. Thank you, God. Here's another one. There's another one. All those flames
that heat from their top of their heads, tongues of fire. All right, so how do we receive the Holy Spirit? We actually, in baptism, I mentioned this before, God is in us. We receive these gifts, we receive the Holy Spirit, baptism, confirmation. But you know, one of the things we need to do, we've got to activate, you know, and how do you activate the Holy Spirit? And so at our Antioch retreat here a month or so ago, one of the students was giving a talk, and he was talking about how these gifts operate, how the Holy Spirit operates. And he had a glass of milk. And in the glass of milk, he poured some syrup, Hershey syrup, chocolate syrup. And it kind of just settles to the bottom of the cup. So the way his analogy was, that, you know, milk is him, the Holy Spirit was in him, but it was just kind of sitting there, not doing anything. He says, now, I have to activate the Spirit. So he got a spoon and stirred it all up and, you know, generate. But then, you know, if you leave the cup there alone, it settles again. If you ever did that at the house. I usually drink the chocolate milk right away. But if you don't, it'll settle out again. And you have to keep it stirred. So, you know, stirring the Spirit is important. Kindle that flame. Stir up those embers that are in us and make that fire. Fan the flame. We're going to a conference here in January called Fanning the Flame. Father Fred is promoting it pretty heavy with the students up in Pittsburgh here. There's a baptism of the Spirit. We read that in Acts 1. Let me go back to that. I think we read that one already. Acts 1:5. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So this is the promise Jesus made to the disciples. There's a program called Life in the Spirit. I know some of you have been there and maybe know about it. We've had a few here in the last year or so. We were just talking at our table here. We've been asked to go to Clarksburg to a group down there and put on a Life in the Spirit. We're going to do that in Easter, between Easter and Pentecost. So it'll be April, May. And Pentecost is late this year, it's in June. So April, May of this year in Charleston, Clarksburg. But I know Father Fred wants to do one here at St. John's before the students leave in the spring. So we'll probably have another one here. But if you would like to, you learn a lot more about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. In summary, life in the Spirit, if you put God at the center of your life, you know, remove that humanness, that control that we all hold on to, put God in the center of life, everything else falls into place. You know, we give up that old life that we have, or the life that we had. Maybe it's not old. We open our hearts up, and what do we get? We're transformed into a new life. I'm going to skip some of those readings. We talked about asking for the Spirit, or the gifts of the Spirit, and then also giving them away. And Irene clarified that, said, don't give them back to God. You know, take them, give them to somebody else. Let somebody else know what those gifts are. We were just sharing some over here about healing. It was really excellent. And if you don't use them, you're going to lose them. It says so in Timothy, 2 Timothy, and in John also. And then John 15 is all about growth. So I wanted to go there also. The one about the vine and the branches. You've heard that one before, I'm sure. 1-4. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit. So you got to use them, or else he's going to take them away from you. And every one that he does prune, it bears more fruit. You already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. This is Jesus talking to the disciples. I gave you those words. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Important words to remember. We need to grow in that spirit also. So we get those gifts, we give them away, we'll get more. God will just give us more, and we'll just continue to grow and get more fruit. And all for the mission that we have on earth, which is to spread that word to others. Father McKay also talks about leaking. You know, we are vessels, and we can receive gifts, we can receive these graces, but we leak. And sometimes we give these things away, but we leak. And he says we need to be refilled and every so often. So we can baptize more than once. We can receive gifts more than once. So just wanted to mention that too. Let's see here. Another slide. Oops. All right. Big word, surrender. Open our heart. And let's see what's going to happen here now. There. I was playing with the thing. And, you know, we need to proclaim that Jesus is the Lord. And those gifts come to us. Thank you, Lord. That's from Corinthians 12:3. Again, 1 Corinthians 12. That's prior to all the description of the gifts of the Spirit. Well, tonight we talked about the past, the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scripture and in our sacred tradition and the catechism. We went through Pentecost, great outpouring of the Spirit. Of course, we had the breath of life at Adam was given, but and throughout the Old Testament, but certainly the Pentecost was a great outpouring. I want to mention here the first 9 centuries plus. Father Patsy, a good friend, and he gave me a reference to a book. I think it's a friend of his, actually, Killian McDonald. And he writes a whole bunch of books, and he's a researcher. He's one of these academic researchers, and he has studied the Holy Spirit in the early church for the first 9 centuries of the early church. And he said in the book, and I just got this as a summary from Father Patsy, all his research and all these works that he's read, all the written materials, shows that the Holy Spirit was an integral part of the early church. Normally, people during those first 9 centuries had the Holy Spirit. They received the Holy Spirit and then decided to become part of the church. And it was really exciting and very lively. And he's still researching. I think he did 2 more centuries. I think he's up to the 11th century now. So he's still researching more. But he has documented 9 centuries now. And it's all the old, early life of the church and being so filled with the Spirit. In 1967, there was a large renewal of the Holy Spirit. In another outpouring in this country and across the world also. Up in Duquesne University, some students were praying for the Spirit. And just like that retreat we were at a couple of years ago, the incredible wind came through and everybody and all the students were just filled with the Spirit. And it started an awakening, a new renewal, a new Pentecost. In the church. Certainly today, right in our hearts, we receive that Holy Spirit. And in the future, the Spirit's with us always. Jesus promised that in John 14, which is right here. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot accept because it neither sees nor knows it. But you know it because it remains in you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live and you will live. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, I don't know if we have enough time to do another group discussion. No, what time is it?
It's a quarter after 9.
Quarter after 9. So we're running kind of late. All right, I don't want to keep you guys. Think about these. How do you open up your heart to the Spirit? And has your life been spiritually transformed? And have you been called to this new Pentecost? one of the things that, that's, I think, really important to do is to make a commitment. And so if we could all just read this together, I'm sure when you read it, you'll agree with the commitment that, that's being made here. Jesus, I know that I am yours, you are mine forever.
Thank you for sending your Spirit to me,
that I might have the power to live this new life with you.
Stir your Spirit in me. Release your Spirit in me. Baptize me with the fullness of your Spirit, that I may experience your presence and power in my life, that I may find new meaning in your Scriptures, that I may find new meaning in the sacraments, that I may find delight and comfort in prayer, that I may be able to love and forgive as you forgive, that I may discover and use the gifts you give me for the life of your church, that I may experience the peace and joy that you have promised us. Fill me with your Spirit, Jesus. I wish to receive all you have given me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. And then St. Augustine's prayer here. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy.
Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, that I may defend all that is holy. Guard me, Holy Spirit,